This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV in Richmond. You can check us out on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can take us on the go all across the country with that Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf, they're the official heating cooling company of the Junkies. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cakes Auville, Jason Bishop, that is the foursome, joining us right now. As head coach of the Washington Capitals, Spencer Carberry, he's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com. How about a shootout win for you guys, coach?
I thought for sure we were doomed.
First one of the season.
As soon as we went to shoot, I said, we're doomed. Let's we suck. Go. And then old Stromer was a beast.
Stromer
was your goalie was a beast.
How were you feeling about that win after the little lull of the three-game losing streak? First one of the year, which is awesome, by the way, that you guys hadn't lost three games all year. But how were you feeling about the shootout win after that?
To get a win and 2 points after the homestand that we had was much needed, I would say, and still searching for it a little bit and trying to find our game, but we'll take the 2 points and move on. So we need a little bit positive momentum in that, and hopefully we can build off of that.
So, Coach, with the too many men on the ice penalty in the overtime versus Ottawa, Joe B. talked about it on the broadcast. You clearly weren't happy with that call. Is it just the refs are calling it too close? Do they not like the way that you're cycling players in for the overtime? Can you take us through that?
Yeah, we're working through that, and I'm not happy with the way we have to do a better job as a team, coaches, players, included, of doing a better job with our line changes, especially in overtime where they're calling it close, and that situation is completely avoidable. Talked to Pro about it yesterday. Pro Toss, is he breaks a stick, he's coming for a change. In those scenarios, you just have to be more urgent to get off the ice and sprint to get there so that we can get a fresh person on. And if you're slow coming off of the ice, the guy that's changing for you jumps on, he's ready to go. Well, next thing you know, there's you know, normally that wouldn't be called in 5-on-5, but because it's overtime and Dubois touched the puck, then it becomes an issue. And all year it's been a problem for us. And we just, especially this time of year, we got to get that cleaned up. You can't be taking unnecessary too many men penalties. And we got to be smarter in those situations.
Coach Carbs, EB touched on it. Logan Thompson in the overtime and shootout, he was just stopping some lasers when you guys were on that penalty kill. And then he stoned the Sens in the shootout, too. I mean, what a performance by him to help you guys secure that 2 points.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I feel bad for him because it shows up in his stat line that he gave up four. But I thought he was fantastic in the game. And there was a lot of chances both ways. So he kept us, and then, like you said, that 4-on-3 in overtime, there was even a late power play that they had when the game was tied. So now all of a sudden they're going on the power play to try to win the game. There was just various moments in that game where we needed him to bail us out, sort of get us out of this funk. And that's what he did. He delivered big time, even though the stat line may say a little different.
Coach, you had a nice little fight there.
Your mic is dead.
That is a doornail. Coach, you had a fight there in the game with Willie and Brady Tkachuk, but Willie took the hit from Giroux. How often does that happen where, you know, another guy enters the fray for the fight?
Well, the one thing that you don't see very often is someone take a run at Willie. That's number one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing that was a little – and Giroux's a veteran player, so he knows what's going on. And he saw Willie come and sort of catches him off guard and knew that Willie would come sort of address that. And then Brady steps in. He's a big, tough kid. And those are two of the premier power forwards in our league. Both those guys are tough customers, a couple of warriors going at it.
Coach, did you know prior to the game that Connor McMichael had texted Tom on Saturday, and he basically lit his fuse as far as expecting him to fight at some point in that game against the Sens? And also, no big deal, but Willie's at 27 goals, that's already a career high, and should top the 30-goal mark for the first time in his career by season's end. So not only is he one of the most feared guys in the entire league, he's going to be a 30-goal scorer for the first time, which is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it is. He's having a phenomenal year in a bunch of different areas, not just the goal scoring. I had no idea. I heard Mikey after the game say something about that, and it's odd because, I mean, we were talking about as a staff, we hadn't had a fight, gosh, I'm just going to throw this out here, maybe 20 games. It's mm-hmm. been since our last fight, so that's... It's not like he's calling a shot and it's a common occurrence. Like, this is very rare. Mikey texting him that. And then just how it came about that's a pretty rare occurrence.
So kind of big picture, before we kind of get into particulars of your next game, how do you look at kind of the rest of the regular season as you ramp up for the playoffs based on where you are? I don't want to jinx anything, but yeah, there's a good chance you're going to have the top seed. But how do you kind of figure things out here the rest of the regular season?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to navigate right now. And I think it's a challenge for sure, because my objective and our objective as a coaching staff is, you know, you want to secure, big picture wise, you want to secure the highest seed possible. You want to win the division. You want to win the conference, because home ice advantage, you never know when that plays a factor. So that's, you know, we don't really talk about that, but that's objective, obviously, number one. The second thing, which we do talk about, which I think is the most important, is going through this last month and a week of the season, we want to be playing really, really well. So whether we win or not, we want to be able to look at our game every night and go like, oh, we played well. We controlled play. We generated chances. We didn't give up much. We had multiple lines going. We looked fast. All the different things that equate to us, quote unquote, looking good out there, so that when you get into those final, call it five, whatever, eight games of the season, you got a ton of confidence, a ton of swagger. You're peaking at the right time of year, and that's sort of our main objective. Now, you know, as teams we're playing are really, really desperate, that they feel like their seasons are on the line. It's going to be no different tonight against New York. Like, this, they're approaching these games like this could be the swing game that determines their fate, if they're going to make the playoffs or not. And so that's the key for us, is matching that urgency level and you know, generating confidence and feeling good about our game going into the end of the year.
Joined by Caps head coach Spencer Carberry. So this week, Chucky signs an extension. He's in the fold for 3 more years, $9 million. You've got your goalie platoon set moving forward, both LT and Chucky under contract for several seasons. Now, dare I say, we've achieved goalie zen and stability in DC, coach?
Seems like it.
Am I going out on a limb there?
We made a joke the other day in the coach's room. Our goalie coach can just sail off into the sunset for the next 3 years. He doesn't have to show up to work.
Right.
Yeah, as with anything, even when you feel like you've got it all figured out, we feel really good about both guys. But the position and those two guys being a part of the organization for the next 3 years is huge, because it just feels like you've you don't have to worry about that position. Not that, you know, things don't come up and all, you know, I'm not saying that everything's going to be perfect every night and guys are going to look good every single night, but it just gives you a confidence that you've got two guys that are elite goalies in this league that can carry the ball, that can steal you hockey games. So it does give you quite a bit of confidence that you don't have to worry about that position for the foreseeable future.
Is it kind of like an NFL team finding his quarterback?
A little bit. I wouldn't say it's quite.
The goal is not as important. Yeah, I get that.
Like, they're huge. They're huge. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like the NFL has turned into, like, you really. Like,
yeah, right.
It is a quarterback league where you cannot. Yeah, so I do think it is really, really significant. I don't want to discredit that because the position is absolutely critical. When you don't have good goaltending, it is impossible to win in the NHL. And when you have it, you want to keep it and you want to keep it going. And to have two, that's the key, I think, which has really helped us, and knock on wood, hopefully it continues to help us, is being able to roll out and keep guys fresh and having two guys that push each other. A lot of teams in the league have one guy and then they've, you know, cycle in and out different backup goalies. And I think it's a real luxury to have two guys that are 1A guys.
Coach Carbs, it looks like the Pierre-Luc Dubois acquisition was a really good one for the Caps. He's just 11 points shy of his career high points total. Only Stromer's got more points than him on the Caps. And just going back a few games, outside of his offensive stats, you can just tell him, hey, Doobie, you're defending Connor McDavid tonight, one of the most skilled offensive players on the planet. He says, okay, Coach, I got that. He holds McDavid to as many shots on goal as I had in the game. Zero. I mean, what a season he's put together so far, and just getting that defensive prowess is like a bonus for him.
Yeah, and he loves it, and that's he thrives and wants those matchups against the top players in the league, and it's an every night thing. It's impressive. Even when we're playing Tampa, he's up against Kucherov and Point. Now tonight we'll try to play him against JT Miller and Panarin, and little more difficult to control on the road because we don't have last change, but still finding those matchups for him. And he's done such a good job in that role, and he embraces it, loves to do it, and appreciates it. Cause that's the thing too, is a lot of high end players, they're so hyper focused on production and scoring, which, you know, rightly so. Like, you got to score to win games. So that's their main objective, where Doobie has an appreciation for that part of the production part, but he also understands, if I can win this McDavid matchup tonight, we're probably going to win the game. And so to put that on his individual priority list is, I'm okay if I got zero goals, zero assists. If I keep McDavid to that, I think we're going to win the hockey game. And to prioritize that as opposed to, well, I really want to get two goals tonight, and if McDavid gets two, then I'm cool with that too. Is he sees it differently, and that's a huge luxury, and it's why I think it's a big reason why he's been so successful, and I think for years to come he's going to be in the conversation. We have an award in the NHL called the Selke Award, which is the best defensive forward in the NHL, and I think he is moving up in that conversation of being one of those guys that should be considered for the award.
Talking to Coach Spencer Carberry from your Washington Capitals, best record in the Eastern Conference, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com. So you kind of highlighted what you believe is the top matchup. But fill us in on the rest of the game. You guys have played them twice this season. The last time you played the Rangers, you beat them 7-4. So that was kind of an offensive explosion.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be like that. I doubt that tonight, because I'm assuming, like, they've been hot. They've won back-to-back games, shut out their opponent. It's going to be a good hockey game tonight. We're going to get the Rangers' best for sure, because you can hear everything coming out of their locker room, coaching and player-wise. Is they are they're as desperate as any team in the NHL right now of feeling like each game that they play is do or die. So just like I described, we're going to have to match that urgency level playing in a hostile environment. We know it well. So hopefully we can build off the positive momentum results-wise against Ottawa and sort of play a good, well-rounded game against a desperate team.
Did you have a good dinner in Manhattan last night?
We did, yes. Yes, we're right in Midtown. Lots of action in New York City, as usual.
What did you get, a little Italian, or did you get a steak?
I actually went seafood.
Oh, okay.
Went a little bit of, yeah, went some a piece of fish.
Nice job.
Excellent.
All right, well, let's get the 2 points tonight, bro. All right? Appreciate the time.
Okay, thank you, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks, Coach.
You too.
Appreciate the time.
It's Coach Spencer Carberry from the Washington Capitals, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. Remember, we are going to be hosting an AltCast on Friday.
That's
for
right.
The Caps game.
Just a few days.
Friday night. You want to tune into Monumental Sports 2, the Deuce, to watch us hanging out during the Caps game. I know we have Darren Revelle joining us. We're working on some other things. So tune in on Friday night to Monumental Sports 2 for the Junkies AltCast. Keep it here. We're the Junkies on the Fan.
You know, just one quick observation. I rarely do this where I drive into D.C. in the evening. You know, coming from, like, you know, you go past the old stadium,
Past RFK, yep.
Past RFK.
So you're taking
the
parkway.
Yeah, kind of come by Audi Field or whatever. And then, you know, I knew we were parking in lot, unlike Cakes, I knew where Lot A was. I didn't park in the apartment complex across the street.
Yeah, it was idiotic.
But what struck me is, it's having been probably at least a year or two since I've kind of driven from behind that way, going to Nats Park. We had an event last night for advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
They've built up so many of these condos now, you almost can't even see the park. Like, you kind of can see them when you're coming from behind.
Yeah.
It's just big condos now, and it's kind of sad. To be honest with you, it's great for the city, I guess. You know, you get all the development and everything.
Sure.
But I'm like a little kid, kind of like, I think Drab feels the same way sometimes when you drive by like a stadium. It's kind of cool.
You're nostalgic for the old view.
Well, it's just the view now is getting obstructed by all these condos. And certainly when you're inside the stadium, you know, we were in that Terra Club again yesterday, and you go back out, and I just kind of walked out there just to see what the field looked like, you know, in early March.
Mm-hmm.
And you look up, and there's more and more condos and office buildings back out in the outfield than ever before. Even now behind home plate, there's condos obstructing the view of the stadium, and I don't like it.
Makes
I don't mind
sad.
It in the outfield.
Yeah.
Makes me sad.
It does make you sad.
Makes me sad, Cakes. But for the view from behind, I like to see the ballpark.
Mm.
And I can't really see it.
I mean, I noticed it, but it didn't really phase me.
Maybe it's been there for a couple years and I haven't really processed it. But, like, you know, that the back end of that stadium where the home plate is, whatever, used to really see it when you come in from behind.
Did you miss?
You mean you're coming in from?
I was coming in like by Audi Field and the new bridge, over there.
Right.
That viewpoint, I hadn't seen
and
in
that
a while.
New condo building just obstructs it. Yeah,
yeah. It just
I'm guessing
it.
That building's been there.
It probably
a
has.
Year, 2 years, maybe.
I think so.
I mean, it
I don't
takes
think
a
it's
while.
Overnight.
Yeah, it takes a
but
while.
But it says I haven't been that way in a while, and I'm like, oh, that kind of sucks. Now, the other part of that is I do like it when stadiums are sort of embedded in a city. That's cool.
Yep.
Becomes
right
part of
downtown.
The whole thing.
Yep.
I just
did
missed
you
that
notice
view.
the golf spot that's attached to the stadium now?
I did. Yeah. I actually
X
did
golf.
Not.
Definitely a golf sim there.
Yep. Yep.
Where?
Right
it's on
like
the backside.
Like that back end.
It's right
of the stadium.
Next to Lot A.
Kind of near like where Salt and Vine is.
So when you
is.
Go into okay, so when you go into Lot A to the right,
yeah, you keep walking down towards
there.
The water.
Okay, I didn't even look there because when I got there, I actually got there right behind Lurch and Michelle, one of our sales reps here, and I was just transfixed on seeing Lurch there that early because I got there a little early.
Right.
Well, I told you I was going to be early arrival.
You called your
early
shot.
Departure.
Yeah, that's I know. You
correct.
Did the Irish goodbye. You did the whole thing.
That's what
he's
I
actually
do.
Literally mastered it because he looked like he was having a good time. And
I
then
was.
Just,
I
poof,
was.
Disappeared.
But I looked at my phone on the ways and it said 1 hour and 8 minutes. I said, I got to get the hell out of here.
Got to
because if
my
I
way
wait
home.
Till 7 and it's going to take me, you know, I'm not going to get home till 8:15.
Yeah,
that ain't happening.
Well, if you waited until 7, the traffic would have died
a
down.
A little bit, but still. I'll tell you what's so stupid is the Dulles Toll Road, the HOV rules from 4 to 6:30 going west on the toll road. You know, you're not supposed
Which
to be.
Which way is going west? Like, so going back towards you?
Yeah, going towards Leesburg.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to be in that far left lane unless you have at least two people in the
right.
car. That's the dumbest rule of all time. Nobody drives with another person to work. No one does that. Everyone drives solo. So you're just creating traffic. There's nobody in the left lane.
Mm-hmm.
It's the dumbest rule of all time.
I use that all the time because I have my daughter in there and we're going to practice.
Oh, your carpet.
But you're the only one. You're the only one.
I think more people do it than you think.
All right, well, let me just tell you this. There was nobody in the left lane going west on the toll road last night.
And so what, was it like a parking lot then on the right side?
I mean, it wasn't a parking lot. It wasn't stop and go, but it was just
more congested.
More congested.
And you wanted to go.
You're just wasting a free lane.
I don't know one person currently that carpools to work.
Nobody carpools.
I mean, I just don't know. I'm sure some people do.
No,
I don't know any.
95% of people don't carpool.
Only weirdos.
Just look at the cars in the morning. There's not 3-4 people in the car.
Who wants to wait for someone?
My dad definitely used to carpool down to Crystal City.
I know.
Way back in the day.
My dad did too.
Like four,
I know,
like
but nobody
not,
does it
not
anymore.
Not only like two people in a car, sometimes like four people in a car.
My dad had three.
Like a real carpool. Yeah. Like you're driving kids to
that
school.
That was a thing in like the 70s.
People were more thrifty.
If you made that rule, if you're part of HOV and you made that rule, you're stupid.
That was without HOV lanes. They were carpooling old
school. HOV lanes. Everybody's just
a
miser.
That must be why when I drive out to Herndon all the time for my daughter's vomit, but it's not that bad because once I get to the toll road, I just get over to the left lane and cruise.
Yeah, because it's an
bad.
Open lane.
Yeah.
Haven't you noticed that the other three lanes are more crowded?
I just know that lane's silly, so I get in it.
Yeah.
He doesn't notice anything.
Well, I don't notice much. I just notice the building blocking the view.
Look, believe me, I was cheating a little bit. All right.
Because, I'm sure you were.
I mean, unless there's a cop sitting on the left side. I mean,
you'll be bitter, though. You get pulled. That's like a $500 ticket.
Is it that much?
I think for violating HOV lane.
That's the dumbest thing.
They don't mess around with that.
Do they do that just because they want to get the free money?
Just say you missed your exit for the airport and you were getting ready to get into the airport.
The cop hasn't heard that before a million times.
Just say, I got a flight. Flying to Atlanta for $1,200.
They love to hammer people on the HOV.
I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of flights. And it's 2.5 hours.
EB was lamenting that he's paying $1,200 per ticket.
I think I might have found one for $800. That was just coming home.
Mikey Stotts, our buddy.
Mikey Botts.
He sent a text to Drabby, said he found one for $85.
For the weekend that I'm going?
Round trip.
Nonstop.
No, it's not possible. I'll tell him the dates.
March 28th?
I'll tell you the date.
Hey, you won't hire him as your assistant.
Travel agent.
I'll tell you the dates.
Send him all your stuff.
First of all.
Can you cancel those?
I'm sure. But I'll tell him the dates. If you can find me a great flight,
what are the dates
I'm happy
again?
To do it. I mean, look.
What are the dates?
I'm going to look.
Oh, geez,
they're asking me
relax.
A million times. I'm flying early. I'm not here Thursday and Friday. So the 27th, and I come back on the 30th.
So 27th.
So the 27th, it's somewhat reasonable, what I found, like 350, something like that.
And
the ticket.
Yeah.
And coming back, it was like, I got it down to like 800.
Man, that's
so he got it for the 30th. He said for $85.
This is a Friday. Friday that you show me the 28th.
I can't. I have to leave on the 27th.
He'll find it.
He's leaving.
The 27th is one way, but then find it on the 30th. The 30th is the one that's screwing me for some reason.
And you got to leave early.
No, got to leave late.
How many
can't
people?
Can't leave before
how
6 p.m.
How many people? 3.
Yeah, can't leave before 6 p.m. It's a thing because we could be playing. We could be in the finals.
So on the 30th, you can't leave before 6.
Until like 6 p.m. Yeah, you got to leave at like 6 or 7.
Any chance you can just come back the next day?
Well, I just miss another day at work. I try not to do that.
Hey, want to remind people that coming
up. It's not easy, I'm telling you.
Coming up this hour, we're going to give you a chance to win that trip to Florida for the Ultimate College Basketball Viewing Experience with our Buckets and Bets promo. Odyssey is sending someone to Buckets and Bets at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Hollywood. That's your destination for tip-off. We will give a keyword later this hour.
I found one for $241 round trip.
I don't believe it. From what airline?
What airline?
Yeah.
Is that Delta? Delta.
For March 20th, what time are you leaving on the 27th?
27th, 7:35 in the morning.
All right. That's early, but I can do that. And then what time are you coming back on Sunday?
There's a 7:42 getting back. Gets back at 9:45 to Dulles.
Yeah. On to March 30th?
On March 30th.
I'm going to book it.
Title the segment, everybody's finding cheaper flights than eBay.
But this is not, this is Expedia. Just go to Expedia.
Hey,
you're going to find, you went to.
You're too big time to use Expedia?
No, I just usually go to where I have my miles. but we've used most of them, so I got to spend more money.
So I found you a nonstop leaving at 7:35 in the morning, nonstop leaving at 7:42, coming back for $250.
I mean, round trip.
That's way cheaper. That's Delta.
It's Delta.
How do you not use one of those sites? I get the miles thing, but
I don't
know. Use Orbitz. Use
I don't know.
Expedia.
Hold on.
Use cheap tickets.
Travelocity.
Yes, yeah. There's a bunch of sites out there that compares.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you hit lowest price.
I thought D was doing all
this.
Yeah,
you might need to fire D.
Well, she was pissed off because she didn't want to change it because Kate wants to change it because of the whole Reagan thing. So I
all
think,
right, well, this is Dulles.
I was just looking at it during work yesterday. I don't know. I have to confirm it. It sounds great.
Hey, what would happen if you told Kate, hey, we're not going unless we're flying out of Reagan?
Well, Daddy doesn't mind moving the flight either.
Oh, so this is kind of your kind of...
No, it wasn't my idea. It wasn't my idea, but it in syncs with my brain. I don't need to fly around all those helicopters that are just buzzing around the airport for no reason.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the helicopters are buzzing around anymore.
I don't know if they've changed it. The only thing I heard they changed is went from 28 flights per hour to 26 flights per hour, and that's supposed to be some big change.
No, they cut it by two.
Huh?
They cut it by two.
Yeah.
Jason, is that the same airport, or is he flying like Dulles, one DWI?
Where'd you put? I don't care if it's
Atlanta,
Dulles
I put
or...
Atlanta International Airport.
Right, right. But then what airport?
Dulles to... Huh?
Dulles. You put it from Dulles.
Yeah, Dulles to Atlanta, March 27th through the 30th. And I told you the times.
All right.
And it looks like, I'm sorry, it's $282 round
trip. That's way cheaper than $1,200, $1,300 a ticket.
Cakes, yeah, what did you say the title of the segment be for the podcast? Because I might have an alternate title.
Everybody's finding cheaper flights to Atlanta than EB.
Subtitle, EB's a donk.
Well, he's going to pivot now.
I don't know why.
He's saying $1,000 per flight. He's going to pivot.
I don't know
how
why.
Many times do you think
you
he's
put,
done this?
Do you book first class?
No. I do economy. I do economy.
Hey, just think how much
I sit with the peasants.
Hey, how many times do you think he's
I know,
done
just
this?
I know. I'm starting to add it up in my brain, the number of flights.
No wonder
you
he's
do.
Busto.
You could have saved $20,000 in flights.
I doubt that.
You got to get on Frontier Spirit every now and then, too.
This is one that was shocking to me. I don't know why. Let me just get my wife to confirm it. She's
now the 7:42 might. Oh, if you guys get to the championship,
yeah.
Are you going to be able to get to the airport at 6 o'clock?
Yeah. I mean, it's unlikely we'll get to the championship.
Okay,
but
all right.
7:42. What time do I get in?
9:45.
Beautiful.
Right. Nonstop.
Yeah.
Jason will be sleeping for an hour.
How much did you say the tickets are?
$282 round trip per traveler.
$282 round trip.
Cha-ching.
All right. Thank you. I'll buy you a drink. Saving me
well, just make sure there's enough seats and stuff, but that's what I'm on it right here.
Yeah.
Expedia.com/flights.
All right. Should mention Kyle Finnegan, closer for the Washington Nationals, who was an all-star a year ago. He's going to join us coming up at 8:25. So we'll talk a little Nats baseball coming up next. What did Dan Orlovsky say about the Debo Samuel deal? We'll talk about that next here on the Junkies.
Fake news. Jason's giving fake news. Right. I will say in his defense, it is deceptive because you click on it and you go, okay, I'm going to leave at 7 a.m. on Thursday. Uh-huh. Cakes. Mm-hmm. It says, oh, 285 round trip or whatever. Then you think, okay, 285 round trip, perfect. But then you go to the other side and then when you have to do your return flight, then it says plus whatever the return flight is. So it's not really, it's so deceptive. And then to leave... Nonstop after 7, March 30th from Atlanta, it's plus $939 per ticket. Nonstop. So that makes it $1,200 a ticket,
Chase
which is exactly what I said. Which is exactly what I said. You guys are mocking me. You guys are stupid. I thought Dana was smart. I'm telling you, I could do one stop and take a 6-hour flight, one stop. End up at midnight and only add another $400 per ticket, so it'd be 7, which is still outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just flying to Atlanta. It's not like I'm going to some exotic location. It's kind of a dumpy city. It's not even that great.
Hey, you can drive there in 9 hours and 34 minutes.
It's a long drive.
You guys are just giving me fake news.
Maybe, but I got round trip. I'm ready to check out. Same thing, Delta, time as Jason said, $501.
Per ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the time where you're leaving?
The same exact times he said. 7 a.m. on Thursday, 7:42 p.m. on Sunday.
I've got a
night.
Checkout right here. So it's $562 per ticket. That's when they add all the fees and taxes. So it's $1,685.91 total for three passengers. I can check out right now and pay for it.
Hold on. What is your return? Sorry we're bothering people with this.
Atlanta.
It's just we have to make a point.
Atlanta. Come over here to my computer.
No, just tell me.
Atlanta to Washington, Dulles, Sunday, March 30th.
At what time are you leaving?
7:42 flight on Delta. Gets in at 9:24 nonstop. Delta flight 1309. Do you not see this?
I see it. Mine's $438 plus taxes.
I got a total of $1,685.
All right, hold on.
Everybody's got a different price.
What's your total?
If that shows you what a scam it is. That flight's not even showing up on mine.
Yeah, but he might not be on. Are you on Expedia?
I'm on Expedia.
Yeah.
Three tickets. What's your total, Drab?
Well, $1,500.
Yeah.
All right, 500 ticket.
Yeah. I'm on United's website right
that's
now.
What I use.
You leave at 8:15 a.m. nonstop
on Wednesday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
And then you come back Sunday nonstop.
What time you leave?
7:27.
Yeah.
3:36.
It's not.
3:36
per ticket.
But the total,
go through the whole thing.
Check out.
It's not.
Valdez.
I use United.
It's the great debate.
It's not, because you click on the other side. That's when they add the fee to the return flight. I'm telling you.
I have the entire I bill
might
right
be
here.
Right. You might be right. Valdez is not correct.
If I wanted to go, I would pay $1,685.91.
For three tickets.
Look.
I believe
one,
you.
Adult two, adult three.
I know.
Valdez says he's right.
You can look at mine right now, Cakes. And
you got a Hurting computer. I don't know what's going on over there.
I got Delta. I have a 509 flight.
Are you paying in euros?
There's no.
Are you on Expedia?
Yeah, I went to your Expedia.
Well, I don't know what the problem is.
There's a disconnect happening here. There's so many flights. Anyway, I can't keep track of everything that's going on there.
The bottom line is, it's butt expensive to go to a trashy city. Sorry, D Woods.
I'm going to see D this weekend.
Ah, very nice.
You should join me. I think we're going to meet up in Olney.
Ah, very good.
Because I'm going to swim meet.
I will come in there during the commercial break.
I'm going to keep this up.
Keep it up. Did you accept the return flight? It adds a fee on the return flight.
Yeah, my fees are $51.97.
No. Okay.
What fees do you see?
He's filled out passenger information. He's done. He's got it all selected.
All right. I'll go look at it. I'm quite sure that's not right, but okay. I'm quite sure it's not right.
What I do know is right.
I don't know. I'm seeing something different. All four of us are seeing something different.
Yeah. A listener can win a trip to Florida for the ultimate college basketball viewing experience March 20th through 23rd. That's Odyssey's Buckets and Bets at Seminole Hard Rock and Casino Hotel. That's your destination for tip-off. We're going to give you a keyword in 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Take a look at the clock. In 3 minutes, we'll give you that keyword. But let's play the Dan Orlovsky clip, unless we're going to just do the whole show travel plans.
We could Google flights wherever Seminole Hard Rock is.
Right.
Hollywood, Florida.
Well, I just think that the number he threw out originally at the top of the show, I just think that's outrageous.
It was.
And there's 100% chance he can get a cheaper flight.
All right. He might have been doing first class or something. All right. Here's Orlovsky on the Debo.
It's impossible that I was doing first class. I always do economy. But I don't, unlike you guys, probably do the ones where you get no refund. You know, if you get diarrhea or something, you just cost yourself $4,000.
Your go-to is if you get diarrhea.
You can't do non-refundable.
Oh, so that's going to add some fees.
I mean, non-refundable is trifling. That's literally for brokies.
or people that don't change their flights.
You're going to be a brokie.
You can't do non-refundable.
Let's see.
That's a non-starter.
All right, should we play the Orlovsky?
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense for me. If I had to use a phrase to describe Washington's offense, it's pace and space. That's kind of their bread and butter and who they want to be. Mina talked about it, and we've talked about it for a year now. The pace on offense, that no huddle, and then the space that creates, sometimes because of the tempo, sometimes because of how wide their formations are. And when you combine them together, that's why you get so many of those perimeter screens. No quarterback in the NFL threw more perimeter screens last year than Jaden Daniels. So you're talking about potentially lining them up in the backfield and giving them the ball. Absolutely. But then you're also talking about being in this no-huddle offense and giving a guy the ball on the perimeter right now. that is as good with the ball in his hands out in space as anybody in the NFL. And this is a there's a simplicity to that that is so simple for an offense and a quarterback. I do think that Washington is fascinating, though, MK, because of this. And I loved Washington last year. I want to give them their flowers and credit them. I also don't think that they can fall into the trap thinking they're that close. Five wins on the last play of the game, essentially, that's not likely in the NFL. And so while they're encouraged and intriguing, they're not one move, one Deebo Samuel away from chasing down Philadelphia. There are still flaws in this roster that they got to have a very much so like attack mindset and not resting on the success of last year mindset.
The perimeter thing.
I agree.
This is the way I look at it.
I think all of that.
Chris Russell had me on his show yesterday when I was hanging around and we were talking about the Deebo deal. I just figure all those screens, if he was number one in screens to the perimeter, and I don't think Orlovsky's making that up. Mm-hmm. Well, now, instead of throwing that perimeter screen to OZ or to Deami Brown, you're going to one of the best guys, like in terms of yards after the catch and contact, this bruising type player. It's going to be even more successful is the way that I look at it, those perimeter screens.
Yeah, especially if most of those guys don't come back. Think of how many targets Deebo Samuel is going to get. 5 or 6 yards from the line of scrimmage if there's no Oz, if there's no Deami Brown. Mm-hmm. Now, you still need some other pieces on your offense aside from Deebo Samuel. So maybe they re-sign Deami, but I don't see a scenario where they bring back Deami, Oz, and Noah Brown. No, somebody's got to go.
Right. Yep.
Maybe two of those guys have to go.
Well, the guys that we were talking to yesterday, some of the guys that cover the team,
yeah,
they think the market for Deami is going to be just big. So he just it won't be back.
Right, like if...
But
like
Oz is the guy.
Like if Deami Brown gets a 3-year, $28 million offer from another team, I think it's going to be bye-bye Deami. Like,
I'd be surprised if he got that much.
It's just the cost of doing business.
Real quick, let me give you.
You might be right.
I would too.
I would be surprised.
Real quick, let me give you the key word for our Buckets and Bets promo. The key word is block. Block. So you enter now with the keyword block at thefandc.com, theteam980.com, or thefanrichmond.com for your chance to win in our Buckets and Bets promo. We're going to send you to Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Hollywood. You get to watch all the games on the big screens and have a great time placing bets.
Two blocks today.
There you have it. There's your keyword.
But I will say that just going back to sort of Orlovsky's greater point, does anybody think they're a player away from chasing down Philly?
I think there's a lot of people out there that think they're neck and neck for the division.
I don't think that at all. I think we need help at every level.
Sure, but the way I look at it is you were in the NFC Championship game. You had a bunch of turnovers in that game. You're not that far off. The one thing about these conversations
but
how'd
you get there is his point.
The one thing about these conversations now is people are forgetting about the other teams. Now, they beat Detroit and beat them handily, but Detroit was the one seed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going anywhere. I know they lost a bunch of coaches, but their key players are all back.
They're still going to be a tough out.
Detroit's going to be a force, and they get Hutchinson back on defense. We'll see what happens in the offseason. You know, you mentioned San Francisco before. It's a team that didn't make the playoffs, but maybe they get healthy and they come back. There's going to be other teams besides Philadelphia in the NFC picture that they're going to have to tangle
with. Also, you're ignoring the point that he made, which, of course, I made months ago, and I got ridiculed.
What?
That you're not going to win five games on the last play of the like. That's just a fluke,
yeah, and everyone got upset. Some breaks.
Oh, EB said fluke.
But here's the other thing.
But that kind of was a fluke.
But what Orlovsky says is they're not one player away. I think that's stupid. Free agency hasn't even started yet. The draft hasn't occurred.
Yeah. Right.
They're going to add players,
of course. But nobody thinks
but
they're
so
one
the
player
Eagles.
Away.
So are the other teams that they're, buying.
But all of these teams are going to change. This roster that you're seeing right now is not going to be the roster in week one.
They can't even field a roster.
I think his point, though, is that there's a gap, in his opinion, between the Eagles and Washington.
I think everyone agrees.
And there is.
I agree.
Yeah. No one disagrees with that.
I've said every layer of this team other than quarterback.
They've got Saquon Barkley.
Every layer. We have needs. You don't say that same thing about the Eagles.
The fact that the Eagles hung a 55 spot on them in the NFC title game, it tells you they're not one player away. Like, they need to keep layering talent through the draft.
And they will.
Through signings. Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be 20 new guys on this roster.
Right.
Maybe pace more. And space. I thought that was an NBA term, but Orlovsky using it, describing Cliff Kingsbury's offense.
But Deebo helps. He helps.
Oh, he's absolutely. He's a nice piece to add.
And, you know, let's see what happens next week when they start talking to the free agents, the draft. You know, if you need a receiver or corner or an edge rusher, they're going to get guys. Their top three picks, 1, 2, and 3, because they don't have a fourth and a fifth round.
Right now, they don't.
Now, maybe they trade a second and acquire a couple more picks. But those, if they stay at 1, 2, 3, they're going to get three good players.
800-636-1067. You heard what Dan Orlovsky had to say. He likes the Debo deal, but he doesn't think it closes the gap on the Eagles. Do you still think there's this big gap between the Eagles and the Washington Commanders? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next here on the Junkies.